Done.
And
here we go.
Now, okay. Live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines.
Everything's still fine, huh?
And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
And a fear, and a fear, and a fear, and a fear. You want to declare your independence with me, Ernest Hancock, here in somewhere, Midwest. We're Minneapolis, somewhere, you know, near Illinois, Wisconsin border on our way to Washington State. Now, today is going to be interesting. In addition to Sheriff Mack in the first hour talking about the county and elections and all that kind of that, what made me, you know, think of John Whitehead. John from the Rutherford Institute, Rutherford.org, is an attorney and an author who has written, debated, and practiced widely in the area of constitutional law and human rights. Whitehead's concern for the persecuted and oppressed led him in 82 to establish the Rutherford Institute. And, you know, it's a nonprofit, civil liberties, give him some money kind of place. But Rutherford.org, now he writes a lot, and we publish just about every word you publish. I see it, boom, it goes up on freedomsphoenix.com, and thank you. So this is one of the articles that you wrote. It was the U.S. versus John Lennon. And I want to give you an opportunity. Well, I want to talk about some other stuff, but we only got two segments, and I want to make sure you get to pimp that and why it was important to you.
Well, I've studied the FBI, the CIA, NSA, and all those groups that over the years. I mean, I'm a constitutional lawyer of 40 years. I've written over 35 books, and looked at all these issues and studied the government. And the government, since especially from the 1940s, late 1940s on, the government, when they set up the NSA and the CIA and programs like that, they became very, very kind of paranoid about American citizens. So they started investigating everybody. Ernest Hemingway, the great author, FBI trailed him everywhere. Martin Luther King, they had 17,000 pages of files on him. They watched everything he did. John Lennon, the Beatle, huge file on him because of something, you know, they thought he was anti-government. And anybody today, you know, when you read, my whole life based on some great thinkers like Thomas Paine, who said, it is the duty of the patriot to protect his country from its government. And then James Madison, who wrote our Bill of Rights, said, we ought to mistrust all those in power. So your real patriots are always ones out here questioning government, saying, what are you doing? Why are you dropping this bomb? Why are you doing this shooting? Why are you doing this and that? And they questioned the government. And John Lennon was doing a lot of that. You know, he was telling people to get into the streets, you know, fight for freedom and stuff like that. Peacefully, by the way. He was kind of a peacenik. But the FBI had this huge file on him. They were hiding underneath one of his apartments in New York. And they were hiding under the bathroom listening to everything he was saying, watching him. And this guy had no intention of doing anything violent, never did. If you read, you know, all he talked about was peace and stuff like that. But there was sort of a paranoia about him. And then you had this strange David Chapman, who, when he dropped to his knee and shot Lennon, he called him Mr. Lennon, and then emptied a pistol which put 4 hollow point bullets into his body. And there were many more bullets found, by the way. They couldn't figure out why there were so many bullets found around the area, more than he could shoot. But he called him Mr. Lennon after getting his autograph that morning, by the way, and calling him John. What happened was, we finally got access to the FBI files, that the moniker for John Lennon by the FBI was Mr. Lennon, which was really strange. If you studied Mark David Chapman, he had a very weird past and all that, and his tracking of John Lennon. So many people theorized, even his wife has said, they think the government killed him. So, again,
They sure as hell wanted to.
What's that?
They sure as hell wanted them out of the way. You know.
Oh, yeah. Well, when John F. Kennedy said, I'm going to take the CIA and tear it into 1,000 pieces and toss it to the wind. I mean, if I'd have been trained at that time, and all of a sudden I know, I went, hey, don't say that. Because I think that put him down. He got a hollow point bullet in the side of his head. And the same with Martin Luther King, who was said he was going to shut Washington. He was going to shut Washington, D.C. down with nonviolent protests.
Against the war. See, it was a civil rights thing, and he saw this was an anti-war thing, the biggest civil right, you know, health of the state and war, you know. And when MLK Jr. decided, he goes, yeah, this is a, we're going to go anti-war, and you're dead.
Yep. And, you know, if we look at government, you know, again, I sued in and out of Washington, D.C. for 40 years. I sued the president and won a big settlement, by the way, against Bill Clinton. I've seen the inside. I've had former NSA agents talk to me about Washington, D.C. and how the FBI and those groups are run. I mean, their main idea is how to control people, basically, how to control the populace. And it came to light under the Obama administration when it was real. The Obama administration was using behaviorists, hired behaviorists who can manipulate people in groups to nudge them to do certain things. But as I've studied the president, all presidents use those kind of, and their administrations use those kind of tactics to control the American people. And I think that's why you have someone like a James Madison who wrote the Bill of Rights saying, we ought to mistrust all those in power. If you don't, you become a dupe. And you start just following along like a dog in a chain, and whatever the government says, you do. And then you have a few people who say, well, I disagree. And some peaceful people, I'm saying, I don't like the violence. The violence, John Lennon said it best. He said, don't be violent. The government wants you to be violent so they can control you.
Yeah.
They'll send the troops out, you know, and they'll claim you're this or that when you're really not. So he said the two things the government can't handle is humor and nonviolence. And that's, you know, again, if you're working on it, it's trouble finding politicians who have a sense of humor. Again, like I said, two out of Washington, D.C. for 40 years. So the Lennon thing is really important, and I still think that, you know, there are people arguing today, there are people disappearing here or there, and we don't have a lot of evidence on it. But I would say if you become a real danger to the government in a way where you can move a lot of people, the government will look at you very carefully. And most people don't know this. About 4 years ago, the government bought 1.6 million hollow point bullets for the 175,000 federal agents now involved in testing. And by the way, under the Trump administration, that has increased by per citizen. So they have.
With what, good guys? I mean, they did the untouchable thing and went to the police academies or something, or we just, he seems to be appointing a bunch of swamp people. Is that to put them on the pedestal so he can fire them?
When I grew up in America, my local police chief didn't carry a gun. In the 1980s, the SWAT teams emerged. There was about 3,000 a year for hostage situations and stuff like that. Now they're 80,000 a year. They shoot up to 500 dogs a day, kill them. They,
Wait! Shot. Shoot 500 dogs a day?
Yeah, they shoot poodles, everything when they do the SWAT team.
500 a day? Seriously?
That's what the statistics show.
Oh my!
I mean, they shoot poodles. I have a listen. I had a police chief call me not too long ago. He says, "John, I've read your stuff. I used to disagree on the SWAT team thing, but I think I'm going to really pull back on the SWAT team thing." And I said, "Why?" He said, one of the SWAT guys, they did a SWAT team, and he said one of his agents, who, you know, they dress in the military gear, took an AK-47 and pointed it to the head of a four-year-old. They had to jerk the guy away and before he shot the kid. Those are the things we're seeing. You know, again, I detail all these cases. There's so many egregious cases where SWAT teams are
Do
you know the case of Jose Guerrera in Arizona?
Yeah, no, Mark Victor was attorney on that for a little while, but he had to pull because, you know, anyway, it's a long story. But, yeah, no, yeah, I know what you're
They murdered a guy in his home looking for marijuana, and there was no marijuana. He was a former veteran. So that's what we're seeing happening in America today. And, you know, I'm trying to get local communities to get their...
Well, that's right. We're going into break, and that's what I want to talk about when we come back. We'll talk a little bit after the break. On the solutions, where is it going to be? Is it this election? You know, is it going to be a future? Is it going to be elections at all? What is it? Well, Rutherford Institute, Rutherford.org, they go after them in court and have some successes, but this is a people thing. We'll be right back.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
With John Whitehead from the Rutherford Institute, rutherford.org. His most recent column, Something Wicked This Way Comes. Anarchy is being loosed upon the nation. Things are falling apart. How much longer can we sustain the fiction that we live in a constitutional republic? I cannot say. But anarchy is being loosed upon the nation. We are witnessing the unraveling of the American dream, one injustice at a time. And what do you mean by anarchy? I'm like a, you know, I'm a leave me alone-ist. I don't know what you call that. I if I got to vote between what I got now, government, and none, I vote none. I mean, you know, that's where I'm at. So I'm, you know, define what you mean by anarchy, and then what, you know, the solutions are you think are going forward, and do you think Trump is going to win or not? Monologue me, man. Go.
Well, my answer to this would be a two-hour lecture at a university, but I'm going to reduce it to 10 minutes. Listen, I've studied this for years. Like I say, I'm 40 years fighting the people in Washington, D.C., but what the studies show, and the most conclusive study, and it's really well done, came out of Princeton University about 4 years ago. They studied 20 years of laws and policies passed in Washington, D.C. The conclusion of the professors that were working with Northwestern University, they came to the conclusion that approximately 585 billionaires run the show in Washington, D.C., that were ruled by an oligarchy of a moneyed elite. And they say the American citizens do not win. You'll realize the billionaires donate to both parties. And they, whoever wins, you know, they're there standing in the shadows. And it's called the deep state. If you've heard that term, I was one of the few, by the way, to get that phrase out here after an FBI memo was leaked on it. Mm. But there's a group of people who run Washington, D.C., that moneyed elite, military contractors, all the people making all this money, the large corporations, all the laws you see, by the way, 10,000 laws were, in the last couple of years, were produced by corporations. They wrote them. 2,100 were passed into law. They weren't written by your congressman. That's the problem. People don't understand. The people in Washington, D.C., like your congressman, they spend 3 days a week raising money. And that's basically, and we're paying them for that. They get flowers on their desk, water, all that stuff, flying around to parties, going overseas. Lobbyists are paying them well. So do you really think those people, I ask you, would be representing us? Another conclusive study came out about a year ago from Southern Methodist University by a group of professors. They studied where psychopathology. Psychopaths are people who have no empathy or care for others. They're charismatic people, but they're there for one thing, their own gain, their big egos. They studied where psychopathology would congregate or where it was most predominant in the United States. After a detailed study, they came to the conclusion it was Washington, D.C.
So okay, what study was this? I want to look this up.
It's out of Southern Methodist University. The professor leading the study was Ryan Murphy, is his name. He's a professor. Real study. But psychopaths run Washington, D.C. I've seen it. Listen, I've had congressmen, when I've been up there, hey, John, let me take you over here and we'll do a little talk. And one guy took me underground. I didn't know it. He said, let's go down this elevator. I was in the congressional building where Congress meets. We went down, 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 down. I stepped out into this amazing place. He said, this is our underground place where we go if we need to go. And I went, what? And there's Mount Weather, by the way. If you've ever heard of Mount Weather right out of Washington, D.C., it's an underground bunker for the president. They even have their own office of presidency. They have these underground bunkers all over America. You know something? They don't build them for me and you. We can get smashed if China or Russia wants to blow us away. They'll all be underground.
Yeah, no, safe. It's all this continuation of their government thing.
Exactly. And now you have, people don't realize this, ICE has built a $1 million fake city in Fort Benning, Georgia, where I trained as a military officer. I didn't know that, but I found it out, where they're training against American citizens, the police, the army. There's a 2030 video, by the way, the Pentagon put out several years ago, where they say by 2030, the country's going to collapse totally. They're going to have to impose martial law. well-done video. You can go to our
website.
Yeah,
I'm wondering to what end, though, so that they can maintain their shiny badges. I mean, it's not about us. It never is.
No.
You know,
no.
One thing I want, before we run out of time, there was something
let me say one more thing people don't get.
Okay.
I say the rich get richer, the poor get poorer. Now listen to this. The 12 richest men in America in the last 6 months, Jeff Bezos, Bill Gates, Zuckerberg, Warren Buffett, Elon Musk, have increased their wealth by $283 billion, while Americans can't. Listen.
Yeah, you're not allowed to open.
Yes, we're not allowed to open, no. But they're allowed to open and do anything they want to do.
Okay, let me ask this before we run out of time. There was an executive order or something done by Trump that kind of caught my attention. It didn't get a lot of attention for a lot of people, and it focused on administrative law. And there was questions that came from Harris. You know, Kamala Harris, you know, asking Barrett about her position on administrative law. And as I keep going around, I'm going, oh, and it's a Chevron deference case, you know, that, you know, we defer down to, you know, some agency, a commission of whatever the hell they say, and, you know, the court system not involved in it. And I saw that Trump did something. Are you aware of that? You know, this F series something? You know anything about that?
I have not seen that, no.
Okay, it was on Freedom's Phoenix. Donna, find that from yesterday, Freedom's Phoenix, and send it to John White. I'd like him to know about it, that Trump administrative law thing. And this, I think,
that's another thing. Yeah, the president making decrees. We don't vote on it. He does executive orders. Obama did tons of them. Now you got Trump doing it. I mean, they should not be able to do that. We elected them to represent us, not to be quick kings or queens.
You know, if you're going to do that, then free me some more. And it looks like this might have been to take away administrative powers of doing, because this is what I'm finding out. It doesn't matter what the Supreme Courts of the states or anybody says or the court or whatever. They go, yeah, but we got county bureaucrats that's going to make you wear a mask and you can't go there and you're closed and we got a permit for your business to be open, whatever the heck. It's going down to the county. And I'm wondering, you know, your solution in the next couple of minutes you got here, what do you think the people need to be doing? What's the solution?
James Madison, who wrote our Bill of Rights, our Constitution, said we staked everything we did during that time on the fact that the American people would govern themselves, self-government. And so the average American watches 170 hours of television a month. So if you're sitting on your butt watching mainstream media controlled by corporations that work with the government, you're not going anywhere. I'm telling people, give me and give freedom one third of those hours every month and get involved in your local government, run for seats, protect freedom, do away with armored police. George Washington said, do not have a standing army on American soil. We have that now, folks. You don't want that. Like I said, if the Pentagon says they can shut the country down when they want to, they're saying it, they can't. Working with local police and all the troops running around.
Well, they even got all this gear and they're not protecting us from the hooligans in the street. Hell, they're helping them. And I'm going, well, what the hell is going on here?
What the hell is going on? And you're hitting it right on the head. And get control of local police, make them do their job, and make them be part of the community. Many police now in the big cities, 80% of them live out of state. No one, they just come in to do their job. If they shoot somebody, they go home. You know, there's no ramifications now.
And in Australia, they're now making it legal to bring in foreign troops and UN and so on.
Oh, yeah. And they're already doing that, by the way, the Strong Cities Network. It started under Mr. Obama.
Here in America?
In America. They're working with troops, UN troops are actually working here and there in America.
Okay, what do you call that? It's called what?
The Strong Cities Network.
Yeah, they're strong, all right. Oh, my God.
The UN working with the big cities all across the world.
Of course they are. It's great to have you.
The only hope you have, folks, is freedom starts with you. It starts with you. Self-govern yourself. Learn the Bill of Rights. It's not taught in the public schools anymore. Teach your children at home the Bill of Rights, and they'll become rebels. And George Orwell said it best. You'll not become conscious with prejudice,
meaning they can never be reviled. We're at the end of the show. We hit the break. You know, John, thanks for coming on. I know you're short on time. We need to talk more in the future and stuff. Probably after the election, we'll get you on to talk about what's up, okay?
All right, sir.
All right. Peace, brother. Thank you.
Thank you.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
From the bus. Yeah, we're getting stuff working one piece at a time. And it's an itty-bitty little wire. I replace that and do some more stuff. John Whitehead from the Rutherford Institute. I keep calling him John Rutherford. He's been a friend of the show for a long time. and we have him come on you know, a lot of different things. He's always in court, you know, exposing some egregious civil rights violation or something. And he has a good historical education and a perspective on things to see where this is going. And I'm looking for solutions. And I don't think he didn't comment on the election. I should have got that, you know, who he thinks is going to win. But it is definitely enthusiasm of the people thing. They're, you know, it's not going to go, you know, quietly. They're, you know, the Trump supporters are not going to go quietly into that. And it's not even, you know, Trump per se, I don't think. You know, if Trump's there, not there, I think what will happen is we'll get Trump TV, you know, or some social media or some effort there. He'll, you know, provide resources for it. And I don't know if he has to be in the limelight or it's going to be Trump and, you know, he'll support somebody that who does he endorse for president election in 2024? You know, what's that going to be worth? How alive is he going to be then? You know, this is, and we've gone through this so many times, even when it was just film, camera, 35 millimeter cameras, and, you know, 8 millimeter, you know, movie wind-up cameras from the 60s. I mean, it always gets out. And now everybody has a camera. Everybody has, you know, the records. We saw, Donna and I watched a Tucker Carlson interview with the guy that was, I can't remember his name, funky name, but Bubba Lusky or something like that. He was a SEAL team. He's been, you know, got high clearances with the government, doing business in China and whatever. And then he got hooked up with Hunter Biden and these guys, and he found, whoa, and he released all of his text and emails and everything. Not a word. Nobody, you know, the only thing you get is alternative media, and I guess Tucker Carlson's probably the most mainstream or whatever that you get on interviews on this stuff. And is that the October surprise? Well, it finally got leaked by someone at the FBI. So they've been sitting on it for almost a year. You know, all this stuff. I'm like, who the hell is running everything? Who's in charge? What? It's like, I need the entertainment of Trump being president for another 4 years. There was a shirt I got all my sons and son-in-laws, because I got for one, because Derek got it for his dad, and I got for one of my son. He loves it, and the other guys, I'm like, all right, you know, so, you know, they'll play favorites. You know, we get the other guy, they just got it, and they're sending me all these pictures, and it says, Trump 2020, because F you again. Of course, it spells it out, you know, because F you again. And I'm going, that's about the biggest, that's my sentiment on this whole thing, because F you again, man. I mean, you know, let's just, you know, let's trigger them all. But they're bringing it all out. This is not going to go well. And who's going to rule? The lawyers? Is going to be by lawsuit? And then they don't care anyway. They do it at a county level. So that's why I'm like, this is going to be a local thing. This is just starting. This is a fight for the culture, as Dr. Frank Tamburi is always going on about. It's a cultural battle. And we've exhausted that. I mean, we haven't exhausted it because obviously we're still talking about it. But we have really drilled down on where they were doing it. And because Dr. Frank is, and myself, but not like him. I mean, he's into the history of and the director, and it's my favorite movie because of the CGI effect of before they even had that. They were doing this and, you know, made blah, 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 blah. And he gets drills down into, you know, the comic book that the movie was made from, that kind of thing, and how they change stuff and go, oh, social justice warrior and stuff and gender studies and superheroes. And what, I mean, you know, where does this stuff come from? And you have these large corporations worth gazillions of dollars, and they won't let Disneyland open. Well, then they do. Then they don't. Major League Baseball, NFL, NBA, deals with China. The NBA is now had like a year off, and now they're all buds with China again, and they're starting to air there. But then they're like, "Eh, we're not going to have Black Lives Matter on the court next year because that didn't go over very well." And NFL, who's paying attention? The Major League Baseball World Series, and nobody are they still playing games? I know they had the first one, and it was the lowest viewers ever, and and there's like a World Series going on, right? Is it done? Is it Donna? Check on the World Series and see. Check on the World Series and see where we're at. You know, who won, lost, kind of. Are they still playing? I don't know, because I don't care. Once they did, and this started with us in Arizona when the Diamondbacks came, I had a lawsuit against the building and the taxing mechanism they did for the Bank One ballpark, the Diamondback ballpark. And it was credible enough that the bonding agencies, they're going, yeah, he's right on this. Damn, man, you better have your judges in a row. 13 judges recused themselves on that issue. They finally got some correct, oh, I'll do it. You know, let me at them. And the lawsuit went through. But what happened is the ratings agency couldn't give it a AAA because they knew I was right. So it increased the interest on it from like, I don't know, like at least 2 or 3% on the interest rate. So Jerry Colangelo had to put up the Phoenix Suns, as collateral to get the final funding to be able to build with the help of the little, and it was all Ernie's fault. You cost us money and entered the tax bracket. No, you SOBs, you unconstitutional. At the county level. This was, you know, enabled by state legislation, but they targeted it to all counties with a population. You know, they just narrowed it down. It's Maricopa County, and I think Pima could also do it where Tucson is. So it's just, I've seen this up close. Smell the devil's breath. You can tell what's happening. So how do I do it? A lot of people go at it and hard, and they're just, okay, LA Dodgers won yesterday. Is it even on Freedom's Phoenix? That no. We don't care. You know, next. You know, do look up ratings though. You know, look up World Series TV ratings or something like that. Did anybody even freaking watch or care? You know, this is there's a bunch of boxes that you check off for other people, I guess. You know, so that you did your due diligence and so on. But these boxes were for me. It's for me to have the confidence, you know, that I know what's happening. You know, I went through, I know that. I know what they do there, and I know what they do there, and I know what they do there. I don't think I know I know. I experienced it. I lived it. I did it. You know, I get it. So then what? Well, what's the answer? What's the solution? We needed to drive. We've gone cross country before. Donna and I have driven, you know, cars, kids, and back and forth, and been to 42 hours straight through, switching off, sleeping in the back, kind of rock and rolling across the country a few times. I've done it a few times before we got married. So I've been across, but I never got to see anything. You know, it's like, woo, look, this freeway has grass on the side. Woo, look, this freeway has rocks. Ooh, this has got cactus. I mean, you know, and you see some beautiful landscapes, but you know, you don't really get the witnesses to see it. So we're off the beaten path a lot of times, unless we got to head down, plow, and get somewhere. And you go into the rural areas, it's a totally different climate, which is where all the people in the cities want to leave to. They're wanting to go. We need to get out. We need to be, say, well, what do they need? Infrastructure. And now it's getting to where you can do it yourself. And it's internet. We are constantly chasing internet signal. And it's just, you know, and how much do we stream that day or not stream? Does the stream cut into the audio quality? You know, all these things, you know, enter into this. And then we get something like Starlink, which has now got, it seems like they're getting their head further up Uncle Sam's butt. So I don't know where that's going. But the technology is there. It shows what can be done. And what the competition is not just going to be access and speed. It's going to be freedom. On the checkoff box, you know, when you have a spec on a product and you scroll down on, you know, you go purchase online or something, what are the reviews? Well, I'm looking for the category of freedom. Where's the freedom button? Where's the freedom checkoff? Where's the you're left alone-ism? Where's that? What county is it? What state? We're going to find out. That's what part of what this trip is about. Find the Merkins.
From the third letter of Captain Mark. The Crown's observation conditions us to be dishonest with ourselves. Therefore, constant surveillance produces a society of constant deception. Honest communication is the seed of civilized conduct. To deny us this seed is to deny us its fruits. But the Crown's primary objective is to stifle free thought itself, to make its subjects incapable of dissent. Seasoned pirates have always encrypted messages and codes and ciphers, so intercepted transmissions were incomprehensible. But today, the Crown possesses advanced tools of pattern recognition that document, profile, and predict our every move. Today, piracy requires hailing completely to the Crown. We are tired of poltergeists in the static. Looking for a community of like-minded scoundrels, or just want some swag to let the Crown know what you think of it? Join the conversation at PiratesWithoutBorders.com.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Oh, we got the news on the World Series. Okay, this was written yesterday, before the game. I guess it was last night. And this is the title of it from the Chicago Tribune. Ratings for the World Series are at an all-time low. Why aren't more people watching the Los Angeles Dodgers versus Tampa Bay Rays? Because, one, I have to know who was playing to care. So Tampa Bay got in there. Woo! All right. So, and I like the World Series. I used to always watch the World Series because you got good baseball. I mean, you know, when, by the time you get to the, you know, the World Series, you're, you know, like it's entertainment, you know, and I, you know, kind of a lazy game. Baseball is a game of anticipation. You know, it's you know, it builds up and he throws the bat, you know, boom, little action, and it's like, you know, you fall asleep. A lot of times I watch baseball on the weekends just to, you know, take a nap. Yeah, put on the baseball game. That'll put me to sleep. But, you know, it's and nobody's in the stands. They got the cardboard cutouts, and you got guys sitting in the dugout, virtue signaling with their mask and all this kind of crap. People are just done with it. They're just, eh, we're good. Well, this is what the – when the Chicago Cubs met the Cleveland Indians in Game 7 of 16 World Series, more than 40 million people tuned in. 4 years later, the first five games of the World Series between the Los Angeles Dodgers and Tampa Bay Rays combined to make it the lowest-rated World Series in history. According to Sports Media Watch, with five of the six least-watched games ever, topping out at 10.6 million for Game 5. So most of them are 8 million and something from 40. This is, you know, I don't know what they were thinking. You know, where is people's eyeballs and ears? Well, they thought they could count on sports. Oh, you're locked down in pandemic of lockdown of like, you know what? I'm going to watch this here Rutherford Institute video, I think. I'm going to watch Sheriff Mack, you know, talk to me about constitutional. I'm going to learn about the science of Dr. Judy Mikovits. I'm going to watch Plandemic. Downloaded over a billion times in like 3 weeks. I mean, wow. People are waking up to do what? Well, we're doing our best to make sure that they understand how they can bypass the controls, that they can share their opinion, give their data, you know, promote a website, do a, you know, an opinion of, you know, in the local community of we know something. This is power. That's where the real power, that's where it always has been. See, for a lot of us activists, we knew this in the 90s, how the media really worked. And then what they would say is they go, our sales department doesn't have anything to do with, you know, the news coverage, as if we believed it. I mean, they would get all serious about it. Oh, no, our news, you know, is separate from the, you know, the business part of it. And I'm going, you could say that with a straight face? Only a leftist can say that. You know, anybody else at Capitol goes, of course they cater to whatever they think their audience is to increase their numbers or get their money. But that's not what's going on here. What's going on is programming, is propaganda. Who owns the propaganda machine? And as you scratch the surface, you see all the media starting to consolidate. And we saw it happen in the mid-late 90s with the internet. It was the service providers, internet service providers. Would you go on a service provider? And then they have yet to pull the trigger big time on that one to where, and you're not allowed. Well, we've had audience, you know, one guy, an older guy from Massachusetts, he just kept grilling, no, I'm finding out what's up. And he finally went up, 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 supervisor, up, up, up. Freedoms Phoenix is on a list that in some ISPs, you cannot forward freedomsphoenix.com site. And that was Cox in Massachusetts, which, you know, duh. Then we just got I had an email from someone on the Telegram saying, you know, your show's not listed on iTunes anymore. And I'm like, they're paying attention. Woohoo! You know, now, you know, when we get Washington State, we'll be looking at a lot of our social media stuff, and we'll check it out and see if there's anything we can do about it. But I don't look. Yeah, I don't care. I know I get a lot of criticism, but that's where I listen to you need to care. I'm going, you know, I'm kind of doing the Corbett thing with everybody. You need to learn how to access the stuff off of their grid because they are controlling the grid. There was a thing called Epic 2014. I think they changed it to Epic 2016, 18, whatever they updated it. But it was done by a Georgia Tech student project or whatever. Anyway, they were looking at from 2014 back to, 05 or something like that, the history of the internet. You know, it's like there were news covering in, you know, 2015 or something, 2014 looking back. And that was kind of the project where they thought it was going. And it was all consolidation to the point at the time the graphic was, you know, Pi, and it was called Epic. And Epic, the shadow from the I and the P, somehow it made a Pi sign. Anyway, that is their logo, and it's from Google. And it called it the Google Grid. Google Grid was everything on their cloud. You could publish or you could keep it private. But if you published, there's a filter. They didn't tell you that part. You know, what you can and can't say, what is and is not allowed, you know, speech. And that was one thing where we knew John Whitehead from Rutherfordinstitute.org, from, was returning vets from the Middle East. They'd say anything on Facebook, and here they came. They in Virginia, they were doing them under, what they call it, 24 or 72-hour watch list, or they can commit somebody for a day just because somebody said. They come arrest them and put them in the crazy bin. You got to prove you're not crazy now because you're a veteran that said, you know, we need to, you know, get trained on it, and you're done. Well, Rutherford Institute and John Whitehead, they're the ones defending them. We found out that they did. It was ridiculous. 30 comes to mind, or 60,000 just in that state alone that they commit people to 24 hours. It's a weapon at the county level. You know, and I'm, I don't know, state and local, they got different ones, different places. But don't think they don't. So this is why I say, if you're going to be on the list, be on top of the list. It's safer there. Well, what put this guy on top of the list? Rutherford Institute came in, look what they're doing. This is just getting going. We've seen the infrastructure for all of this, and we've seen it throughout history before. Soviet Union, the Eastern Bloc, China, social credit scores. You're not allowed to. Yep. What are you going to do about it? Now, how much time are you going to be spending watching feetball as opposed to getting learnified on something or taking care of you, which I think is what's happening? You know, and they just lost interest. You got all these, you know, baseball. But I gotta look at what color shoe they have or what logo they have on the back of their helmet, or, you know, their pad as an insignia of a badge of kind of my opinion of whatever. And, you know, and in Arizona, the only news they had, mid-90s, 95-mile-long Trump truck flag caravan. You know, a couple of my kids went, you know, my oldest daughter went with her younger brother, Forrest, Rian Forrest. They went, and his son, my grandson, Easton Wyatt, Hancock, woo, Easton. They go around in this, the loop around there, and the only news coverage was some NFL player flipping them off. They went, yeah, look at me, I'm flipping them off. Ooh, look at me, I gave my finger, you know, I'm flipping them off. Look at my cell phone, I got, you know, I'm flipping them off 97 miles, I'm flipping them off. You know, and that was what the coverage was, of him flipping them off. What does that tell you? I mean, either way, I mean, if it was a Biden thing and something they, you know, of course they wouldn't, you know, ignore that. But, I mean, if they did, I'd be going, what is that? Who did that? It's like they're doing you a favor. Yeah, don't worry, we did you a solid. We're not going to tell you about what's going on, the people, right? But then, of course, people see it, hear about it, see the evidence in, you know, different media or emails or however the heck they get it, or if it's even allowed. And then does it break out into other places. That's what another thing we're finding out. A lot of the activism and the signs and all that stuff going on, you know, Forest Brook in Michigan isn't making it out of the community. Same thing with Arizona and all this stuff. You know, if it's not some, you know, right-wing, whatever, Trump-supportive, whatever the heck, you don't even know about it. We're in weird times. This is, you know, Orwellian 1984 goes into the, you know, fact category on your bookshelf kind of thing. Yeah, economics. You know, we got, you know, economics, he's holding it off. Stock market hadn't plummeted yet. It's going to. We're going to talk about that. The LibertyAdvisor.com. Liberty Advisor, Tim Pachote. We're going to be on just a little bit at the top of the hour and get learnified on that. And then we hit the road again, heading west. Heading west. You know, we get, oh yeah, I got to get out the drone. Yeah, show where we're at. Yeah, we got to add, it'll be a movie. Love Bus, the movie. Yeah, when I can get to it. We'll be right back.